One quick heads up for those of you watching with us at home. We are going to be singing some Vacation Bible School songs this morning, and we have paid for the rights to stream all of these online for you, but it's always an adventure when we do those things, so if for some reason the sound just cuts out, hang with us. We will work to get that taken care of, but that is something done by Facebook, and that's because of copyright things, which we paid for, but the robots that run their systems don't always check on those things. So that's just a heads up. Hopefully it will not be a problem, and we're going to be blessed to worship together and start learning these because we're going to be singing them a lot come July.
As Adam said, we're going to do Vacation Bible School songs for this year. There are many things going on behind the scenes. People, kids are signing up, registering. We have activities going on. There's still opportunities to help. So I hope all of you will get excited about Vacation Bible School that's coming up in a month. So I'm going to ask, we're going to start with the theme song for Vacation Bible School this year. If you could stand, please, that would be great.
Priceless treasure. God knows me, God hears me, God is my comfort. I am His and there's nothing better. Forgiven and chosen forever. I am a treasure. I am a priceless treasure. God knows.
Know we're special treasures. Again, these are new songs, but you see that they repeat themselves. So I hope that you can get a sense of them, appreciate the words that are given, and enjoy the beauty of the outdoors that God has blessed us with. We're now going to sing Wherever I Go.
All my life, all I know, God.
song is one that's familiar to many of us. The words are going to be familiar, but the arrangement is slightly different. So if you go off singing the song you're familiar with, you won't quite be along with the tape. We're going to sing Take My Life and Let It Be. Good. Thank you very much. You may be seated.
At this time, kids may be dismissed for children's church. Those who would like to go. Secret hidden pictures. Secret hidden pictures. Now, when I was a kid, I just had plain old hidden pictures. You might remember them from reading Highlights magazine in the doctor's or dentist's office, or maybe you had a subscription at home. The hidden pictures are where there's an illustration. Maybe it's kids playing down at the creek. And then in that illustration, you have to find the hidden pictures. Find the race car. Find the key. Find the hot air balloon. And those were always fun, but secret hidden pictures, I tell you what, that it takes it to a whole nother level. How do secret hidden pictures work? Well, it's probably easier to show you rather than explain it to you. But in secret hidden pictures, you open it up and it's just a big jumble. A big jumble of kind of red and blue. That's all. And you can't really do much with it. But see, here's how secret hidden pictures work. You got to use the super secret hidden magnifying glass. And when you use that and hold it up, oh, then you can see the pictures. Well, then you can see like the super secret pictures. And even in that picture, then you still got to find the piece of pumpkin pie and find the hot air balloon and find the race car. But secret hidden pictures. And you know what? Kids love it. And I can say that for a fact because the moment I brought this home, my kids were like, "Dad, can we try that? Can we do it? Oh, I want to try that. Let me see that. Let me do it." And I said, "No, not until I've used it for the sermon illustration, because y'all are going to lose the magnifying glass. And without that, it's not going to make any sense to anybody." But, you know, there's that appeal to being able to see, to know, to have something that nobody else knows. So many people love, you know, to have a secret. And you might have some as well. Maybe you've got a secret cookie recipe that's been passed down through your family and you don't tell anybody else. Maybe you've got a secret spot where you go fishing, or more likely around here, where you get mushrooms. And nobody's allowed to ask where your secret spot is, because that's just not how it's done. But everybody's got their own secret spot they go and look. Maybe you've got a secret place where you go and you can just get great deals on airline tickets. And you love it. And we all have these different secrets. And we know them. We enjoy them. There's something special about having them. And would you believe that there's another secret that a lot of us don't know about that we're going to talk about together this morning? And that's this, that within the pages of Scripture, there is secret wisdom from God. There is secret wisdom from the Lord that is available to us within the pages of Scripture. And I understand you might be sitting there thinking, "Well, Pastor, I've been doing this a long time, longer than you've been alive. I don't know. I've never heard about secret hidden wisdom in the Bible." Two thoughts. One, it's because it's a secret. Two, it's because we're not always as good at reading the Scriptures as we think we are, and it rather talks about it rather clearly in 1 Corinthians. But let's just go with the first one and not the second one, and we'll take care of it together anyways as we study in 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 16. That's what we're going to be studying together this morning. In 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 16, we are continuing our study together in the book of 1 Corinthians. And we're picking up in 1 Corinthians 2, right there in verse 6. As we do, let's begin simply by reading through the text together, Paul's words to the Corinthians. He says this: "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." These are Paul's words to the Corinthian church. And as we begin to unpack them together, the first thing we're going to see is that God's secret wisdom is hidden from the hearts of men. That God has a secret wisdom that is hidden from the hearts of men. We see this in verses 6 and 7. Paul begins it and he says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature." When Paul talks about "we" here, he's not just talking about himself. It doesn't say "I," he says "we." And he's talking about those different godly leaders that have been within the church in Corinth. If you remember in weeks past, we talked about there being some division within that church. Some people saying, "I follow Paul," others, "I follow Peter," "I follow Apollos." And we talked about how for Paul, he doesn't see divisions. He sees unity, at least among the leadership that has been in the church in Corinth. And the "we" includes all of those, whether it's Paul or Apollos or Peter when he was there. He says, we speak a message of wisdom among the mature. There's this idea that those that are mature, especially as believers, can understand this secret, deeper wisdom of God. And that also helps us understand that this wisdom, this isn't the means for salvation. That is not hidden away in that way. That is available to all. But this is as we mature and grow about what God desires and what God wants for our lives and how we are to live for Him, that there is a wisdom there that not all understand, that is hidden from the hearts of many men. Paul wants to be very clear. Not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. He says, this wisdom, this secret wisdom of God, it's not the wisdom that's being hawked on every street corner in Corinth. If we were talking today, it's not get-rich-quick wisdom. It's not your best life now wisdom. It's not health, wealth, and prosperity wisdom. This is not the wisdom of the world rooted in the hearts and desires and motives of a broken, fallen world. This is the wisdom of the Lord. Paul says in 7, "No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began." Now, I do want to pause here just for a brief moment and talk about this idea that God would have secret wisdom and what's going on and why this wisdom is secret. And that's important because, well, the truth is that for a lot of us, if we have secrets, the secrets that we've kind of talked about together this morning, we tend to keep those things secret for selfish reasons. Why won't you share that secret cookie recipe that your family has? Well, because if I share it, then others will be able to make it, and it won't be so special. They won't have to come to me to get those secret cookies. They'll be able to make it on their own. Why don't you share that secret spot to get mushrooms? Why is it frowned upon to even ask somebody about their spot in our area? Well, you know. Well, because if I tell somebody else my secret spot, they're going to go get them, and then I won't have them for myself. And because I want them for myself, I've got to make sure I keep it a secret. Why do you not tell people that great place where you can go and get airline tickets for, you know, 10 or 20% less than anybody else? Well, because if I tell other people, especially around here, there's only so many flights out of Peoria and Bloomington, and if they know where to get those good deals, well, I might not have them for myself. The truth is, a lot of our secrets are rooted in selfishness. I want to keep it for myself so that I can have this special thing for myself. I mean, I would like to be able to help other people, but I'm going to help myself first. If we take that understanding of why we often have those secret things and apply it to God in this situation, it kind of paints a not so kind picture of God, that He somehow has this secret wisdom that would help and encourage and build up and strengthen us and the world, but that God is somehow keeping it secret because He doesn't want the world to have it. He doesn't want people to know it. And that's not the case. And we see that clearly even from our passage today. No, God has destined this for our glory before time began. God has always intended us to have this wisdom. God has always wanted to make it available to us, and it will bless us, and it will help us. The reason it's secret is not because God is intentionally trying to conceal it from us. Rather, it's secret because, well, it's hidden from our own eyes. It's secret because we ourselves don't have eyes to see. We don't have hearts to understand. It's hidden because of our fallen, broken human nature. The sin within us conceals and blurs and distorts the secret wisdom of the Lord. The sin that's in each and every one of our hearts keeps us from seeing the secret wisdom that God wants us to have. Honestly, you might think of it kind of like our secret hidden pictures. Everything is here. When you hold up that magnifying glass, it doesn't make something appear that's not already here. And I mean, you can squint and you can look and you can almost see it, but it's those big jumbled red lines that are preventing you from seeing what's clearly there on the page. I think the same thing happens in our own heart of hearts, that the sin in our lives, our brokenness, our selfishness, it blinds us from seeing the truth of God's word. What you need, you almost need something to help you see better, something to help you see through that sin and really understand what God wants us to know. Thankfully, Paul keeps writing. In fact, as we move on into 2 Corinthians 2, 8 to 13, we're going to see that Paul says that the only way to understand God's secret wisdom is through the Holy Spirit. The only way to understand God's secret wisdom, the only way to truly understand the secret wisdom of the Scriptures is through God's Holy Spirit. Paul talks about this in verses 8 to 13. Now, none of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. There's this reminder here that Paul's going to go more in depth on in just a bit, that the people of this world, they couldn't understand the wisdom of the Lord. I mean, they couldn't understand it, not just when it was written, but like when it was staring them in the face. And I mean that literally when they encountered Jesus Christ, God made flesh. They still could not comprehend, could not understand the wisdom of the Lord. And that's whether you're talking about Pilate, or whether you're talking about the religious leadership in Jerusalem, whether you're talking about the people, the masses that were there. None of them understood the wisdom of the Lord, not truly. Otherwise, they most certainly would never have crucified Christ. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Paul says here that God has just amazing, wonderful plans, desires, purposes for us, whether we're talking about eternity to come or even our lives now, that God has these things that he wants to help us with, and he wants to guide us and shape us and help bring us up in the ways of the Lord so that we can live our lives for his glory. God has always wanted that and continues to desire that for us. But the only way that could be revealed to us, the only way we can see this and understand this is through his Holy Spirit. That's how God reveals this truth to us. Why is the Spirit so vital to this process? Well, Paul says it this way. He says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except this man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. As we kind of try and unpack this idea that it's only through the Spirit of God that we can really understand the desires and wisdom of God, you might think of it this way. Karen and I, we celebrated our wedding anniversary just yesterday. We have been together since we are 17 years old. Go on, Kara's going to correct me here. Yeah, I was right. See, I was worried there for a second that I started to sweat up here. I thought I was pretty sure it was 17. We've been together since we were 17 years old. And I mean, we've been together through a lot. We went to college together. We had kids. We went to seminary. We've been here through a tornado, through a pandemic. I mean, we've been through a lot together. And we've been together a long time. I mean, it's crazy to think about this, but Kara and I have been with each other longer than we've really been with our parents. At this point in time in life, we've spent more time together than with anybody else. And because of that, I think I can say this, that I know Kara then better than anybody else in this world. But it's amazing, because there are times when I still don't know what Kara is thinking. And I know her better than anybody in the world. And I mean, it's not even complicated things. I mean, we can be talking, and I can say, well, hey, do you want to go try that new taco place in Peoria? And she'll say to me, yeah, okay. But what does yeah, okay mean? I mean, I've got the word. I know exactly what she said. I know it, but I don't know what it means. I mean, does it mean, yeah, okay, I want to go get tacos too? Does it mean, yeah, okay, if you want to go, I'll go with you? Or does it mean, yeah, okay, but you didn't hear when I told you what I wanted to go get like an hour ago, and now you're suggesting tacos? I don't want to have this discussion. I'm just going to say, yeah, okay, and we're going to go get tacos. You know, there are a lot of different meanings of those very words that are right there in front of me. And I know Kara really well, and I've known her for, listen, all you husbands out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you wives, too, know what I'm talking about with your own husbands. These people we know and love dearly, we can know them, we can hear their words, but still, we don't always understand what those words mean. And the truth is that only they, within their heart of hearts and within their spirits, do they know what they mean. Well, if that's true for people, don't you think it's also true for God? And that's the point that Paul is making here. Only the Spirit of God truly knows what God means, what his purposes and intentions are. He has given us his word, and we have it, and we can read it, and we can study it, but we also need his Spirit to understand what this means. And this isn't a new idea. This is something that Jesus himself talked about before he even went up to heaven. This is from John 14, 26. Jesus says to his disciples this, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." He says this, and he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, at that point in time, just it's a quick reminder for us, they didn't have the full inspired and errant word of God recorded for them in the way we do now. So the Spirit, first of all, is going to remind them what Jesus said so that they could record those words for future generations. But then also, the Spirit is going to help teach them what those things meant. Help them understand what God's word meant for their lives. If you want the fancy name for it, sometimes this is talked about, the illumination of Scripture, that the Holy Spirit is vital, is integral in helping us understand the Word of God. I had a seminary professor, Dr. Bingham, and he used to say, Bible, Bible, Bible. Everyone reads the Bible. And he would just make this point that through generations, lots of people have read the Bible and then started a cult or taking it in a very wrong direction. And the truth is that the words of Scripture are freely made available to everybody. And that's a beautiful thing. Thanks to our Gideons for doing that and sharing God's word and passing it out. But as a Bible church that loves the Bible, I'm with you there. We sometimes need to be reminded that we also need the Spirit of God. That understanding and applying and living the Word of God is not an act purely of human spirit and will. We cannot do it on our own. We couldn't save ourselves on our own, So why would we ever think that we could live the Christian life out on our own either? No, we need the Spirit of God. We desperately need the Spirit of God to help us understand the wisdom of these words and apply it to our lives. And it's a basic idea, but honestly, it's so easy for us. I mean, how often do we just sit down to do our morning devotions or our daily Bible reading without ever once praying, even quickly, you know, Lord, through your Spirit, would you help me understand what I'm about to read? You're here on a Sunday morning. Good job. That's great. Love having you here. You do it every Sunday. Do you ever think to pray, you know, dear God, as I prepare to come before you this morning, would you open my heart to your word so that I might understand the truths that I'm about to hear and what they mean for my life? I don't often think about that. When you're going through a difficult time and you know you want to turn to the word of the Lord, you're opening up the Psalms where David's struggling with deep and difficult things. Do you ever think to pray, God, stir your spirit within me. Help me to know. Help me to understand. Is there truth here that you have that I need for my life? God, help me, please. The way that the truth of the Lord, the way that secret wisdom is revealed, is the Spirit within us. And we have to have the Word of God, but if we're going to understand that and apply that, we need His wisdom. And sometimes, even well-intentioned Bible church goers like us forget that part of the process and just try and do it on our own. But we need God's Holy Spirit. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Paul's kind of doubling down on this idea that it is through the power of God's Spirit that we can understand and apply this secret wisdom of the Lord. And it's secret because without the Spirit illuminating these scriptures and helping us understand, the truth is we cannot understand the wisdom of God. In fact, Paul will go as far as to say that without the Holy Spirit, the world cannot understand the secret wisdom of the Lord. Without the Holy Spirit, the world cannot understand this wisdom of the Lord. We see this in verses 14 to 16. Paul says this, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." Now, as believers, the moment we're saved, each and every one of us receive the Spirit of the Lord. But the Spirit of the Lord does not dwell within the hearts of those who are not saved. And look just for a moment at how Paul describes those without the Spirit of the Lord and their approach to, honestly, to this wisdom of how we are to live and God's purposes and desires for our lives. Well, they do not accept it, he says. It's foolishness to them, Paul says. And this one's the one that really gets me. They cannot understand. Not it's just hard for them to understand. Not it's difficult. Not they have to work a lot harder than us to understand. He says they cannot. That means they will not. They do not understand the wisdom of the Lord without God's Holy Spirit. And this is important for us to understand, to really take a moment and wrap our heads around, because I will just be honest, for me, this speaks to a struggle I often run into in my daily life. Because as believers seeking to live our lives for the glory of God and seeking to live our lives according to the wisdom of the Lord revealed in the pages of Scripture, oftentimes I struggle to live that out in a broken, fallen world where they don't seem to see things the same way that we do. We bemoan, why can't we just watch something on television without gratuitous sex and violence added in? What's wrong with this world? We struggle. Why do I argue so much with my sister? I mean, she and I, we agree on so much, but this idea of the right to life, she can't seem to get it through her head that a child is a child from the moment of conception. And why does she push so hard back against this? We struggle. Why is my grandson moving in with his girlfriend who he's gotten pregnant? Like, what's going on here? Why does that happen? And we get upset, and we struggle in our heart of hearts, and we wonder, well, why don't they live their lives according to what God desires from us? And no matter how much we talk about it, no matter how much we bring it up, it seems to fall on deaf ears. It's like they don't understand. It's like they can't understand. Here's the truth. The world, if they are not saved, if they do not have the Spirit of God within them, they cannot understand the wisdom of the Lord. They cannot change their lives and live in a way that is honoring and glorifying to the Lord. They do not have the ability. They do not have the power. And sometimes, I know this happens with me, I get really frustrated with the world being the world. I want it to change. I want it to live in a godly, morally upstanding way. But guess what? It cannot, it will not happen without the Holy Spirit. We often want to moralize and change the world, but here's the truth. The world cannot be moralized before the world is evangelized. The world cannot be moralized before the world is evangelized. The hope for the world is not that they would hear the secret wisdom and live good, moral, upstanding lives. I know we want that, but there's something that has to happen before. There's something foundational that cannot be overlooked, that cannot be missed, that we often jump over, and that's this, that they need the gospel. They need to know of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. They need to know that love. They need God's Spirit, and it's not until that happens that they even have the capability to understand this wisdom from the Lord. And we need to get that through our heads, because until that happens, we are going to continue to butt heads with the world. Paul says, the spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. Any man's judgment, that's Paul's nice way of talking about the world's judgment. And he's just getting at this, something that Paul himself has no doubt experienced. That until the world has the Spirit, until something changes in their own hearts, we are going to be old-fashioned, or wrong, or backwards. Sometimes they'll even use the terms bigoted, as we stand for the truth of what God believes. And they cannot and will not understand differently without the truth of God's Spirit and God working in their lives. And I know that can be hard. We don't want to be discouraged about that, but it's a reminder that what the world needs from us is to hear the truth of the gospel. And what God wants from us is for us to not only take heart of the truth of the gospel, but to read his word, to seek the aid of his Spirit as we seek to understand it and apply it in our own lives so that we might live for him. I love how Paul ends this section. He says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" And we'd expect the answer to be, well, no one knows the mind of the Lord. But really, that's not true. Each and every one of you here this morning that is a believer, that has the Spirit dwelling within you, Paul says this of us. We have the mind of Christ. We know, we can understand, we can grow and mature as believers through the power of God's Word illuminated by the Spirit within us. Would you bow with me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you and we seek to take these words to heart. We ask that your Spirit, Lord, would stir within us, would open our hearts to your truth, Convict us, Lord, of when we try and read and study and apply your word in our strength and our power rather than your own. Lord, give us hearts for the world that does not know you. Soften our hearts, Lord, so that we're not filled with bitterness and anger and frustration when they don't live for you. Lord, help us to see them as you do. Sheep without a shepherd are a harvest that is plentiful, but the workers are few. Lord, help us to have a heart for the world and know that that transformation starts with your truth, starts with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, and that through your Spirit, Lord, that transformation happens. Lord, we come before you, and we ask that you would do that good work in us, and that we might know and live out your truths this day. We pray these things in the name of your Son and by the power of your Spirit. Amen.